Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District in New Mexico, Steve Pierce. The big news this week is the coronavirus.
It is nationally. I will tell you that President Trump has stepped up. There's a very interesting article in the Western Journal. Again, this one is coming from Dick Morris. And he says that a new Donald Trump has emerged. That's just a stunning comment, because that's one of the things that people have against Trump, is that his style is just so in your face. And so I think that Dick Morris really lays out just a very piece by piece reaction to what he's seeing coming out of the president. For instance, he says that the new president is no longer the reality show performer or galvanizing the take no prisoners partisan. He's about getting the job done. He's not picking fights with anyone, even the European Union, and seems content to lead an above politics effort to deal with this public emergency. So that press conference, he had all of these corporate leaders in the health field and corporations who are giving a lot in order to make all of this testing available and make it possible to get it done. Dick Morris goes on to talk about that Trump even seems to be working with Nancy Pelosi. They agreed on this spending package that will help companies get through this period where everybody's being told not to fly, that they can't fly. Hotels are suffering, travel industry, the cruise lines are suffering. And so we don't want those large industries to go broke. And so the president is doing that. He's playing very well with others. And so this leadership into the private sector, I'm not sure anyone else could have got that done. So his overall management of this case is looking very good. It's refreshing to see, because that's the piece of the president that I've been able to see up close, and the fact that he is now being able to demonstrate that as he leads through this worldwide crisis. The stock market is suffering, so people's retirement account are suffering, the economy is suffering, everything is suffering. And so that, I think, is what Dick Morris is talking about in his Western Journal article.
I think it's interesting that the president comes to private industry, which are the innovators in this country. It's not the government. The last time I saw something like this was during World War II, when David Sarnoff, the president of NBC and RCA, went to President Roosevelt and said, "We're at your disposal. What do you need to win the war?"
And so Dodge and all of the auto manufacturers had to quit making vehicles. They instead started manufacturing tanks and airplanes. And so the entire industrial might of the nation was put into this effort. And that's what Trump has done. He has persuaded, like Walmart, to donate some of their parking lot to virus testing. Then he goes to the FDA to fast track approvals of these testing technologies. So again, this is what people are looking for in their leader, somebody who chooses the right path and gets everyone to buy in.
Governor Cuomo of New York impressed me. First of all, he thanked President Trump for allowing the states to do the testing for the coronavirus, taking it to a more local level.
And testing is probably the single most important thing that we can be doing now. As I said, we'll be able to do about in one day all the tests that we have done to date, believe it or not. So, again, I want to thank the Vice President, and especially the President, who facilitated this and moved quickly.
And he left it up to the individual school districts to whether or not they wanted to close instead of doing it from Albany. I was impressed by that Democratic governor.
Well, this is exactly what Dick Morris was saying, that this president is becoming much more presidential. And when the governor of New York compliments him on the cooperation they've had, then that tells you that the country is moving the direction that it needs to move, with Democrats and Republicans working together to solve this problem that we have.
We saw a press conference last week where Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham came out and said she was going to close the schools across the state because she was concerned about the children. However, then she realized, well, wait a minute, a lot of kids don't eat unless they go to school for the free lunch program. And then, of course, you have parents who have to go to work. What are they going to do for daycare? So then she says, well, we're going to figure out a way to open the schools for daycare and so the kids can get their free lunch. Well, then why close them if they're all going to meet in the same place anyway?
Yeah, and so you're going to get exactly the same exposure. So I think what I would have done if I was in the position, and of course, I ran for that spot in 2018, and I think that I would have instituted on-site testing, I believe that we would have been rigorous in evaluating if we have problems or not. And I think that I probably would have left the schools open until we found some reason to close them. Like you're saying, the governor, I think, did something that was supposed to be a big public splash and then realized that it's causing greater difficulties. So she puts back in all of the non-essential pieces, that is the daycare element and the free meals. Those are important, but she's still not reinstituting the education itself. And so if you're going to have people gathered, you might as well be doing the education. And so I would have been a lot more aggressive on the testing, leave everything as it is until we find out there's great need to disrupt these families' lives. Now, there's a group called 60 Plus, a guy named Saul Anuzzi, and he's got a fascinating piece in his newsletter this week about today's Democrats. And he says, please pay attention to what the leading Democrats across the country are supporting. And this is what I think is opening the door for Republicans. That number one, they're supporting socialism. Number two, open borders. That's crazy. It can't sustain. Number three, sanctuary cities. Number four, non-prosecution policies. And this basically gives criminals a license to steal. And even worse, it's public policy already in California allowing criminals to walk into stores and steal at will. And then they're offering free stuff to the people who don't want to steal. Then the Democrats are all supporting resist. And it doesn't matter what it is. President Trump proposes, just resist it, all of it. Then no voter IDs is another thing that Democrats are supporting. We require an ID for virtually every important thing that we do in society, and now then we can't verify voters at the polls. This is going to increase the voter fraud. The next thing they support are this whole Antifa-style violence, and liberal city officials are basically tying the hands of law enforcement officials and allowing these lawless demonstrators to destroy property, to beat bystanders. And so the fact that this is kind of a standing value system on the left should cause us concern. The next thing he points out is that they're supporting infanticide. This is post-birth abortion is what they're calling it. I'm sorry, but that's just killing babies that are born alive. And then finally, the self-identification gender, boys competing in girls' sports, is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. The culture wars that they're creating is creating great disruption in society. And then finally, he talks about the spending and deficits. And it's just part of their mantra on the left. And then finally, he mentions gun control. Again, we're seeing many of these play out in New Mexico right now. These are many of the reasons that when we recruited Republicans to run for state legislature, you've got 112 seats up for grab, 42 in the Senate, 70 in the House. And Republicans this last week posted 101 contested races. We actually have 113 candidates in these 101 seats. But never before have we had this many Republicans running. The enthusiasm among Republicans and even the enthusiasm for conservative Democrats to get to vote for someone different in these areas where typically we don't compete, like the South Valley. That is what's playing out right now. And the reason that you're going to find Republicans sky high on the opportunity to turn New Mexico red this year. And it's all because the other side is supporting these kind of policies that we just walked through and made the list of. So, Derek, a tremendous show in store for our listeners today. Next, we've got Senator Mark Moores joining us. Stay with us as we do the next segment of Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, and as promised, we have State Senator Mark Moores from the Northeast Heights area of Albuquerque on the phone. Steve?
He's one of the leaders in the State Senate, one of the guys that I look to on policies that is steady, that is conservative, that holds the Republican team together. And so, Senator, thank you very much for being on with us today. Tell the listeners about the area you represent, when you ran the first time, why you ran. Let's just talk a little bit about you personally, if we can, Mark.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks a lot for having me on. This is a great opportunity. Hey, yeah, my family actually dates back to New Mexico since before statehood, actually before colonial days. up in Rio Riba County. My family goes back way back up there on my mother's side. And actually, I'm fifth generation New Mexico Republican. My grandfather was county chair up in Rio Riba County. Like I say, he's probably one of the last few Republicans up there. We were conservatives. We lived off the land. And so we had a lot of those values. So I had the misfortune of being born back east after my mom went off to college. So I was raised back east, but I came back to New Mexico to play football at UNM, actually. And New Mexico's always been great. It's been our home. It's what we love. And we just go way back here. And we go way back as Republicans. And so when I got the opportunity to run 8 years ago, it was really because of that sense of duty that I had to New Mexico and to give back to the state. And also the frustration that you and I and many other conservatives have about the direction New Mexico has been, not just recently, but for 90 years. Back since the 1920s, New Mexico State Senate has actually been controlled by one political party. And it's not the Republicans, it's the Democrats have won every single election majority since the 1920s. And we look around what's happened to New Mexico with the poverty and the lack of business opportunities and compare that to our sister states like Arizona or Oklahoma or Colorado and Utah in our same region. And we have the fortune of having oil and gas. They don't. We have the better sunshine, better place to live. We got better food than everywhere else. But yet we've always lagged behind. And I believe it's because of the corruption and the political power that resides in the Democrat Party and the machine that they have in Santa Fe where they put themselves first as opposed to putting New Mexicans first. And that's why I ran for the first time 8 years ago. And I'm running again this time because I really see a momentum this year, an awakening of New Mexicans. The liberals and the public policy of this governor and others, people are seeing where we are right now. And we're taking away our rights, expanding government spending by 20% in 2 years. And now we're facing a situation with the coronavirus and the downturn of oil markets right now. We've overspent. And there's a lack of leadership. And the Democrats up in Santa Fe put their political interests first instead of New Mexicans first. I'm really seeing an exciting upswell of support for our president, for leadership changes up there in Santa Fe, and opportunities to actually finally turn New Mexico ship around.
Well, that's just a great background, and you did mention that the price of oil fell. Since we recorded our last program, the price of oil fell by 30%. That was in one day, the largest single fall since they've been tracking the oil market. And that's what you all as Republicans were warning the Democrats and the progressives in the state legislature that, hey, you can't spend this like there's no tomorrow. The oil and gas price is volatile. It's set worldwide. Russia and Saudi Arabia got into a contest of who could produce the more oil. Saudi Arabia has the better wells. They're right underneath Leonetti County. They used to be the world's dominant producer, but Leonetti County in the last 2 years has displaced them. But still, they have enough weight in the market that when OPEC met and Russia refused to cut its production, they were trying to up the production. They were taking market share from the Saudis, and the Saudis simply said, we're going to fight you, and we're going to drive the price down to where you, Russia, can't produce your oil. And so they are doing that. Well, we in New Mexico get penalized by that. So talk a little bit about the warnings that Republicans gave during this last legislative session to the governor and to the progressives who are leading the charge to spend every single dime.
As you well know, you're an expert in the oil industry, and you know, we are in New Mexico price takers, so we don't control or have the ability like Saudi Arabia or Russia to actually have these swings of prices. We have to take what's on the world market. And that's when we're 40, it's between 30 and 40 in any given year, Steve, is what our state budget, it relies on oil and gas. And when we're that dependent on something, we just got to be careful because we don't control what happens in Russia or Saudi Arabia. We don't control if a war breaks out in the Middle East. So we got to be prudent as a state and protect ourselves and future taxpayers and our future budgets by keeping a good reserve. And this governor and many in the state Senate and the legislature, you know, the only seven of us state Senate voted against this budget, which is just shocking to me. We knew this was going to happen. We were expanding government spending by 20% over 2 years. We knew we have a fickle industry. Even the best, most optimistic economists were talking about this increase in revenue lasting a few years at best. And here we're spending like drunken sailors, and that makes drunken sailors look bad, the way we've been spending. So it's disheartening. And they're putting the governor and the liberals in the Senate and the Mexico House of Representatives are putting their special interests, friends, and those who help them win campaigns ahead of New Mexicans in the budget. And we're gonna have problems. You know, right now, if this price continues, we are looking at about $400 to $500 million reduction in revenue only from oil, not talking about the income tax and property tax and the sales taxes that drop in oil could lead to further reductions in spending. And that's scary. That is scary. And this governor did trim a little bit out of the budget when she finally signed it through a line item. But what she trimmed was non-recurring spending. She took away money for roads and projects and buildings to help us around the state. But she kept that recurring spending that went to her political allies. And so she did it the exact opposite. You want to cut down recurring spending and to protect yourself, not the one-time spending that she did cut. And so she did cut some, which was good, but she took away our opportunity to build roads and schools and around the state, but you kept that recurring spending that we're going to have to cut in the future if oil and gas and these situations keep happening to us.
Sure, and let me pause right here to talk to our listeners. You hear the senator talking about recurrent spending, and he's just putting it into the conversation. That's the way Republicans think. Your house payment is recurrent spending, so if you buy a bigger house, you still got to pay for that bigger house every year for the next 30 years. But if you were simply to put a new roof on your house, let's say you kept your old one and put a new roof on it, that's non-recurring. You pay for the roof once. Maybe you have to finance it, but you probably don't, and so you put whatever money due to build a roof. Well, now you don't have that increased expenditure down the road. And yet what the governor did, she didn't cut the salaries. She didn't cut positions with the government. She didn't cut recurrent costs. She only cut the roads. Now, the roads would have had long-term benefit because they increased the economic activity. So she cut the things that would improve economic activity, would have improved our budget down the road. And instead, she left the great pressure on because all of the recurring expenditures we're going to face next year. And so the senator is saying we got $400 million less to spend. And that's at a minimum. It might increase above that if the price goes lower. And then when you factor in, I already am hearing that people are leaving Hobbs, they're leaving Eddy County because the work is slowing down. So you're going to have less in gross receipts taxes. You're going to have less in payroll taxes. And so the $400 is the beginning point. This is what causes great chaos in government down the road. The governor is going to either be faced with having a tremendous cut in expenditures, that is the austerity budgets that we'd face if she doesn't do something serious, or she's going to increase taxes on the workers that are left in the state. Neither one is a very good option, and senators like Mark Moores were advising her, please don't do this. Please be judicious, be prudent, and they refuse to listen. And now then we've got ourselves in a great problem.
We will continue our interview with State Senator Mark Moores in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. The chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce, continues his interview with State Senator Mark Moores from District 21.
What other issues became big issues this time in the legislature as you fought your way through that 30-day session?
A lot of New Mexican families get their tax refunds every year. And what you do with that is you pay off your bills, or you, like you say, you buy a car, you actually invest it. You don't go out and buy a bunch of new subscriptions. You actually invest it. You don't go actually increase your spending every year. And it's disheartening up in Santa Fe. This last session was, I think, one of the most liberal we've ever had in the state. And one of the biggest problems we have right now is this tax and spend effort up there. Is even when oil and gas was looking good, we were looking at $2 billion of extra revenue. That's what they were talking about. Yet they still insisted on raising taxes last year by $320 million. And this year, they even raised taxes on pet food, of all things. If this was such an important effort, you can find the money in a $2 billion increased budget to provide spay and neutering projects. That's just an example of how out of control the spending of the liberal Santa Fe is right now. Not only do they attack our gun rights and they attack our other rights as New Mexicans, they really just want to take more and more government more and more spending away from the taxpayers and the people of New Mexico and control it themselves. And really what's disheartening is you see them just funneling it to their political supporters, the advocates and the political liberal operatives up there in Santa Fe that have their hands out. And it's just, it's taking it away from us New Mexicans and business owners like the rest of us, and you just giving it to political operatives.
And that idea that if you get along with the progressives in the legislature, then you're going to get money directed to you. I just recall with clarity, I sat on the Appropriations Committee in my 4 years in the state legislature, and these groups would come in and they would just present over and over more money. And if we had the money available, it was given to them. They were never accountable for how that money improved the lives of New Mexicans. Now, you mentioned the taking away of our gun rights. Talk a little bit about that red flag bill and what you felt like it represented.
To me, that was them, the liberals and the Democrats, kowtowing to Michael Bloomberg. He has come in with a lot of billions of dollars, and they felt that they needed to keep that spigot for the special interest and their opportunity to raise money for campaign donations from him while he was still being a presidential contender. And that's really what that bill seemed to me to be about. Even so-called moderate Democrats were worried that they would not be able to tap into those political funds as they move forward. And that was incredibly disheartening. They really put our constitutional rights up for sale to a rich out-of-state billionaire. And then back to the government spending, you know, there was a movie and a play back many years ago called Little Shop of Horrors with Steve Martin. And there was a monster in that movie that just kept growing and growing and growing and kept saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, as it kept growing and growing. And that really what it is, state government, that they just are insatiable, always hungry and always wanting more. And they're never accountable. And before you know it, they've swallowed up the entire state.
And it's always the Democrats who are accusing the Republicans of adhering to the special interest, but I think you're exactly right. Michael Bloomberg has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to take away our gun rights, and he achieves that in each individual state by contributing to Democrat senators and House members. So it is actually the Democrats who are conceding over to outside of the state special interest. Your average conservative Democrat in the rural areas of New Mexico does not want to see their guns taken away. And that's what you mentioned in the first part of the program, that this overreach is causing, for the first time, Republicans to be very, very bullish on the fact that we may turn this state red. I'm saying that we're going to take both the House and the Senate a year from now, that you will be a committee chairman instead of just a opposition member. You will be controlling the direction of your committees. Again, we're visiting with Senator Mark Moores. One of the things that I hear often is that the people in Albuquerque really don't care about their gun rights. You represent, tell me a little bit about what your constituents feel on the gun issue.
I represent a suburban part of Albuquerque in the Northeast Heights, and people are, they're worried. They're worried that their kids might not be safe in school, but they don't want to see their constitutional rights trampled on. So one of the things I've been actually working on is making sure school security is a priority. In the last 2 years, I've made sure every single school in my district, from the high schools down to the elementary schools, have received capital outlay funding to improve security and enhancements at those schools. So those are the kind of things parents and mothers and fathers in my district want. They want to make sure their kids are safe in school. And I put the capital outlay resources into that to make sure that we can move that ball forward. But they also don't want their constitutional rights infringed. I understand the advocates for taking our gun rights away's desire to protect our children while they're in school. So I've actually made efforts to do just that by putting our resources as a state where they belong in protecting school security.
Your approach is not to take away the rights of law-abiding citizens, but instead to provide the safety measures at the school, which would then protect our kids.
Yeah, I want to make sure that the kids are safe in school by putting in security vestibules, locks that public can't come into the school without having security clearance. Security, high-tech security monitoring system where you need a key pass to get into the school. Those are the kind of common sense programs we can do to make sure that schools are safe, but we're not taking away their parents and others' gun rights and ability and the constitutional rights that they have. We want to make sure the schools are safe, that they have the resources to provide safety for the children, but not take away constitutional rights.
We've talked a long time with Senator Moores, but I've got to ask one more issue. You saw this last week as the governor shut down the schools and then rethought about the schools being shut down and is worried about, of course, the free lunches and the free meals, which are intended to help families that struggle. But also then daycare, many times families don't have other options. So she reversed her course on that. What's your viewpoint on that series of decisions on the part of the governor this last week?
Well, we're all concerned about what's happening with the coronavirus. And I have elderly parents who are here in their 80s, and I'm definitely touching base base with them every single day to make sure they're all right. But I definitely have concerns that we're doing this in the right way, that we're not completely stifling the economy, and that we're not completely creating fear in the people of New Mexico. You saw the runs on the grocery stores. It was shocking to some of those runs on people's behavior. And I think that's partly been instilled by the fear that has been developed out there. I think that's a shame. I think we need to protect the elderly. We need to make sure that anyone who gets sick has the resources and the care that they need to overcome this virus. But I don't think we need to destroy our economy in the process.
Well, friends, you've been listening to Senator Mark Moores from the Albuquerque area, and just one of the great, great representatives for us as Republicans in the state legislature. He's a state senator. So go online, check in with him, start following him, because I think you'll hear and see through his service more of these great conservative issues that he's been visiting with us about today. Senator, thank you very much for being with us on the program today, and keep up the great work that you're doing, my friend.
Thank you. Let's onward to victory in November. Thank you for all you're doing.
If you would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, please go to the website at www.gopnm.org. You can get the latest news, upcoming events, information about elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the party and its mission. You can also listen to previous editions of this program. There is also a Facebook page. And you can check out what's going on at the party's Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. The Republican Party is always looking for volunteers to help with their mission to win New Mexico for President Trump and to turn the roundhouse red. You can call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 298-3662. I'm Derek Underhill, and I look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.